Today's first reading is from Job chapter 38 and is verses 1 to 11. You can find it if you want to follow it on 538 in your church Bible. The Lord speaks. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.'" This is the word of the Lord.
If you want to follow it, it's on page 1006 in the Bibles that you've got with you. It's Mark 4, beginning at verse 35. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Glory to you, O Lord.
So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you calmed a stormy sea. You multiplied fish and bread so that 5,000 were fed. You healed your disciple Peter's mother-in-law. Lord, you are a powerful God. So show your power, Lord, and we pray that you would speak to us out of the whirlwind and through the storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at the two passages that we heard read. The first from the book of Job, and the second from the Gospel of Mark. And both say something about God's power and God's love. So the book of Job, we've probably all heard the phrase, patience of Job. But this book is part of the wisdom literature on a par, if you like, with Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. We don't know when it was written, and we don't know who it was written by. But we know something of Job, maybe particularly you've heard in relation to Job's suffering. So, who was Job? Well, the Bible tells us that he was the greatest man of all people in the East. And it says right at the beginning of the book, this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. A wealthy man. In Hebrew culture, material prosperity was a sign of God's blessing. So godly Job is both prosperous and admired. And then suddenly, Satan, the accuser, comes. And he comes before God, claiming that Job was trusting God because he had everything. He was wealthy, and because everything was going well with him. So we read that Satan was given leave to test Job. And then calamity after calamity happens to this man. He loses his family, he loses his possessions, he has the most appalling suffering, and this shakes his faith to the depths. We encounter friends who did their best to help him, but somehow made things worse. Now, Job had never really questioned God's power and wisdom. In fact, earlier in this book, it talks about Job when he was speaking to the 3 friends. Job always spoke reverently about God's power and might and wisdom. Job knew all about that. He never doubted God's great power, but he did end up doubting God's love. So there we now come to chapter 38, a very quick whiz through that early summary. And it is in this chapter that God shows up. It is from the whirlwind that God speaks to Job. Of course, God has been present all along, but now he makes his presence known. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge?" God questions Job. God's purpose is to get Job to think about how the world is managed. Now, this is not quite the answer that Job expected. I remember once saying this. There's a lot of questions I want to ask God. And somebody said to me, "Well, when you get there, you won't need to. You'll know the answers." And I feel that maybe this is quite hard for Job at this point. It's not the solution that he's wanting to know. But bad things do happen to good people. And as we have seen this week, the Christian life is not an all bed of roses. We read all the time of the most appalling tragedies. And just to come back to that tragedy in the church in Carolina and what happened there. You know, these things do happen. But for me, the testimony that was given, "Lord, I am a work in progress. Please help me to forgive," really spoke to me today very clearly. And I hope it speaks to you about, yes, things do happen to us, but God is there in that situation. So God takes away from the close and personal, if you like, the issues of Job's suffering and his personal life, and instead builds a picture of a much wider world, the world of creation, where God's unfathomable being undergirds everything. And what Job learns and what we learn is that we are not center stage in the drama. God, it's God's world, it's God's creation. We are part of his created world, and we are in this world. So he comes, he's come in the whirlwind, and he receives God's presence. Now, the whirlwind is often used in the Bible to show that God's presence has arrived. We see that on Mount Sinai when Moses receives that. There's a prophet called Nahum, which is a minor prophet. But in there it says, God's way is in the whirlwind and the storm. So in the rest of the book of Job, yes, there are still more chapters, Job is taken on a journey through creation. It's probably the greatest example of creation poetry. And if you have time, I suggest that you read from chapter 38 to the end. God says to Job, come around with me and enjoy my creation. Marvel at its wonders. See how it all fits together as an overriding pattern and purpose. God takes Job out of his misery. He wants him to enjoy the world. God shows Job he created the world before Job was born. God is the master builder. God built the foundations of the world. God asks about the stars and the planets. He asks if Job can make it rain. God shows Job that he makes it rain even where no one lives in the desert. How amazing is that? He has made the world for his glory and purpose and for humankind to care for it. God shows Job he cares for his creation by demonstrating he is compassionate and he is just. So Job is invited into God's schoolroom. Not quite what Job was looking for. He wanted an audience from God. He gets a lecture on how to run the world. God leaves the outcome with Job. God says in chapter 40, Job, if you can understand better than I would be willing to hear from you. Will you give up now or will you answer? Job confesses he has overstepped the mark and he states he should not have found fault with God. He replies, how can I reply to you? I will say no more. So God's revelation to Job is that God's providential care is at the heart of all creation. He laid out the foundations of the earth and he laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sung together. God, who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst out from the womb, is at hand. In Job, God commanded the seas and therefore controlled nature. So, that informs the gospel reading. Jesus calming the wind and the waves. When in the gospel we see Jesus calming the storm, we are very clearly experiencing the divine nature of our Creator. The story of the stilling of the storm is a very familiar one. It's a miracle story in which Jesus Christ exhibits his power. but it is also a wonderful parable in which Jesus stills the storms within our hearts, therefore by giving us peace and stillness. When the storms of life become violent and we are afraid of dying, do we still trust God? It seems that this miracle story is an invitation for us to trust God during the tough times, the storms in our life. Sometimes we think Jesus, who is the presence of God, is asleep in our boat and is not alert about the perils we are in, the hard times we're having. Sometimes we think that he's sleeping on the job when we are tossed about by the waves and of life. But the important question in the story, who is this that even the wind and sea obey him? The same question persists with us today. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Can he calm the wind and seas in our hearts and in our minds? Can he calm the storms that are going on around our world? Every day we see problems and wars and conflicts, upsets, tragedies. I could go on. So Jesus has been teaching from a boat to avoid the pressure of the crowd. And he now crosses the Sea of Galilee into the Gentile territory of the eastern shore. Now, having been to Galilee, you have this wonderful sea and then you have the hills, and it can be very, very calm. But very, very suddenly, you get the almighty storm and the gale. And this is what happened in this boat. Jesus was asleep and he was resting, and he comes. The disciples are obviously very concerned about what is going on in this storm. But then they wake him and he rebukes the wind and the storm. The word rebuke is one that's usually used when we talk about controlling demons in the Bible. The ancient people thought that natural disasters were the work of the devil. And in the Old Testament, the sea is often portrayed as an unruly dragon, a symbol of chaos and of evil. And when he rebuked the wind, suddenly it dropped. It was still. Who can this be that has power over the wind and the storm? The disciples were aware that Jesus was with them, but this clearly shows that Jesus was the Son of God. The sea and the wind obeyed him. I'd quite like now just to, for us, to imagine that we're in the boat as I take you through that. Some of you may prefer to just close your eyes and just imagine as I lead us, you're in this boat. So let's just reflect on the scene on the lake again. Jesus and his disciples, they are in the boat. There are other boats on the lake. You're in one of these boats, but you can see the gale beginning to blow. You can see the raging of the storm. You can feel the boat tip. You can see the waves crashing over. You can see the boat where the fishermen are, the disciples with them. You can see Jesus in this boat asleep. You can see Jesus wakes up. You can see him rebuke the storm. Where are you in this scene? How do you feel? In that storm, what fears are arising in you? What do you want to say to Jesus? As you see calm restored, and you feel the presence of Jesus, how do you feel now? Are you still fearful? Are you amazed at this awesome person? Are you ready to trust? So can we invite Jesus into our boat in where we are today? Like to just bring yourself back. So what's happening in your life at present? Maybe the world is crashing on you today, just like the waves and the storm. Maybe it was yesterday. And then again, maybe it will be tomorrow. Do we speak to the Lord about the waves that are swamping us in our lives, the church, the world, in our humanity? Jesus tells them and us to trust what we have seen in him to get us through the storms in our life. Whatever and whenever things trouble us, it's not a matter of if, but it is, I'm afraid, a matter of when. Whatever we think and whatever our prayer, know that we haven't been abandoned. Job needed to know the love of Christ as well as his power and his wisdom. And God is with us because he is a God of power. We saw he was a creator in the book of Job. We see in the Mark reading that he was Jesus, the Son of God. And he can bring us into that place of being a new creation. He can restore the world. Yes, as I said earlier, he can make the desert blossom. Yes, he can open a river in Jerusalem that flows out to the desert, that he turns into a garden. So he can change nature so the lion lies down with the lamb and a child can play in a snake pit. He has complete power over nature and he controls it. He created it, he sustains it. And at God's command, violent seas went still. The sick were healed. The dead came to life. And God still speaks to us at various times and in various ways. And sometimes he speaks loudest in the eye of the storm. He speaks to us today through the Father, Son, and Spirit. And to end, I just want to give a testimony. Now, many of you will know that I am have been part, really, my walk with St. Joseph the Worker in Northolt, partly because when I was ordained, I did a placement there, but also I have was back there when I retired for a few months. And the church has been through quite a difficult time. The previous vicar died in post of cancer. I was at Joseph the Worker last Sunday, and a testimony was shared. The person who preached shared that the vicar, Steve, and some of you met him, I think, when you went for some training on healing ministry a few weeks ago. And this person stood up and said he'd been asked to share this by the vicar. Now, he was at work, this man, all day, and he felt Holy Spirit was nudging him to pray all day. And he tried to ring the ministry, tried the landline, he tried the mobile, and he could not make any contact at all. So he went, as soon as work was finished, he went round and he knocked on the door. Still nothing. So as often when we visit, we put a note through. And he put a note through with his name and the time, and he was praying. And subsequently, he found that at that very time, the minister had had a heart attack. And praise God, he is expected to make a full recovery. No coincidence. God incident. Absolute power of testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit to actually speak. So we've heard about the power of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit today. So just take a moment of quiet to lift to God, really, what is on your heart. What Jesus, God, has been saying to you, Holy Spirit's been saying to you about what is going on in your life. Sit in his presence and hand your concerns to him now. Going to gather up in a final prayer. Father God, we believe you are a powerful and loving God. We bring to you the things that make us sad or worried. Give strength to everyone who has just brought to you something that troubles them, that is on their heart. Help them to know you are near, that you are a God of love, and help us all to trust you. Help us all to see your power. Help us to see you, Jesus, as a God of healing, forgiveness, and restoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.